Blog Talk Radio.
I feel so bad, I got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine, looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou.
Happy Saturday night. You're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith and Daniel Vecino. Although Daniel is not with us tonight, he has other engagements. Tonight's show is based on front page picks from July. And I have Weaver of Dreams co-hosting with me, and I will bring her on. Hello, Weaver. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Gray. It's wonderful to be here.
Great to have you. And these shows are brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. We have anthologies available on amazon.com that help support these shows filled with poetry from around the world. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. All right. So how are you doing tonight, Weaver?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you. It's been a really weird day in Scotland. Our weather is so erratic. It's been rain, cold, colder rain, a bit of sun, cold, rain. Oh, don't even ask. Terrible. So I've got no suntan going on at all today.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad you decided to join us. And, yeah, so what do we have first?
Well, first we have No Poets, Burn Them All by Ben Hart. So I wonder if you would you care to read this, please, Gray?
Sure, no problem. Slip in here. All right, so again, we have No Poets, Burn Them All by Ben Hart. One, No Poets, John Doe. I can barely breathe at rest, and I can barely feel at best your phantom head resting on my breastbone, listening for armistice, 11 minutes of silence. What it wants, it gets. Ceasefire in my chest. I'm not a man of God. Pretty lies are all I got. Stole my eyes from Van Gogh, which must be why I'm seeing ghosts. Look at me. What you want to know? I'm a dog with a bone. I am Cain with the stone. Mad King on his throne. Burn them all. Burn them all. I'm so humble. Icarus wings. Morning star halo. Rise and grind. Or leave out the window. Mystery mix. What's Ben doing next? Kill himself. Yeah, we know that trick. Is that all the pony's got? Talk about the eagles and Frisian blood. Changed his name for the fame. How's he lying in chalk? But it was he who shot. Get over it, Ben. All you do is sulk. At least I don't write in bulk. At least I've got some fire in my lungs. It's not art if it's just for fun. It's either the pen or the gun, the flow or the oven, the brush or the noose. Yeah, your rhymes are by the rules, but in this game, there are wolves on the loose, big teeth in these woods. Come and get your loving. Better go home while you still get to choose. Burn them all. Burn them all. The accused. Fighting a war, a long war, where every man looks like me, but that just makes them easier to kill. They'll say life finds a way, but I don't think it will. Not this time. This time we took it too far. You merely adapted the dark. Guess you finally got my postcards. Whatever, whatever. It's not like you'll last. Last man in, first out. If you're not suffering for your craft, shut your fucking mouth. Beat me or bow. Frisian eagle, fucking regal, wolf howl. Yeah, you're my world now. End poem. And he says in his prompt, my take on the prompt wanted to do something a little bit more different than usual. It's youth / will versus talent and work. May or may not also be a nod to a few people on here and comment. Wow, that was an excellent poem. Very deep. You know, you can really feel his introspection in this, right? And it's reflected beautifully in his poem. I thought it was wonderful. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes. This one leaves you very like you've had a blow to the chest. It's so meaningful. And obviously, I mean, this is heart outpouring. This is holding nothing back. Hopefully this is, you know, just a fictional right. I will really hope so. And I think it's really, really good. There are so many different stanzas here that you could pick. But I love this one. I love this. It's so sharp. At least I don't write in bulk. At least I've got some fire in my lungs. It's not art if it's just for fun. It's either the pen or the gun, the flow or the oven, the brush or the noose. Wow. Out of those choices, I think I'll just go art is fun, if you don't mind. Yeah, love it. As usual, beautifully written and with so much meaning. So thank you for sharing that with us, Ben.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you for sharing. And what do we have next?
Right. Oh, and by the way, you read that beautifully. I meant to say that.
Thank you.
Very well. So now we have Electric Oyster by Stone Cause Waves. Sorry about that. I wasn't very sure what that title was. It comes up really weird, the titles sometimes, don't they? Anyway, just me being silly again. So I will read this one. Stone Cause Waves. Electric Oyster Slid. Super Gala Fred's electric hexed with halitosis. Even flow towards found abyss, a rumbling might ferocious. If you stay endowed, your bluff, that road you cross follows us. Super Gala Fred's electric hexed with halitosis. Undid a little, undid a lie. Shams may be brittle, unpacified. Upon trails whittled with dull knife, do be skittle by you and I. Undid a little, truce pacified. Scams left unfiddled, non-string complied. While oysters of spittle in shells we lie, do be skittle little, still you and I. Hoot and holler, beds electric, shorted by neurosis. Mids bestowed, confounding grit from head down to one toes. Must remain avowed of it till solemn oath deposes. Hoot and holler, beds electric, shorted by neurosis. Undid a little, undid a lie. Shams may be brittle, unpacified. Upon trails whittled with dull knives, do be skittle by you and I. Undid a little, truth pacified. Scams left unfiddled, non-string complied. While oysters of spittle in shells we lie, skittle, still you and I. End poem.
Wonderful read. And that was different. I mean, it really makes you look at oysters in a different way, that's for sure. Hoot and holler, beds electric, shorted by neurosis, mids bestowed, confounding grit, from head down to one's toes, toesies, must remain avowed of it, till solemn oath disposes, hoot and holler, beds electric, shorted by neurosis. Wow. And then undid a little, undid a lie, shams maybe brittle and pacified. Upon trails whittled with a dull one knife. Yeah, definitely a unique rite in its presentation. And, you know, it definitely takes a reread of that to grasp it all. Yeah, it was wonderful. And what did you think, Weaver?
I thought it was this was somebody who was having a lot of fun. Stone Causeways. I'm going to have to look at a little bit of more of your work, by the way. And I loved the play on the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That was so clever. Super Galifred electric hex with halitosis. Brilliant. I mean, so clever. So very clever. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I do love oysters. And as you say, you probably look at them in a different way from now on, but I feel very sorry for swallowing them. But at least I don't chew them. And, yeah, that's good. And I thought he did a wonderful job. Yeah, it was really funny. So thank you.
Great comment. Thank you. All right, where are we to next, Cooper?
And next we have... Diddy-diddy-diddy. I'll be with you in just one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. I was so busy talking, I forgot to collect all that. The next one. Here we are. The Lady Madeline by Poetic Picasso. And I think we've got a SoundCloud. Yes, we do.
All right, I will play that. Here we go.
Rodri Pusher, the poor gent that was my old friend, had presented himself to me as a hoary and fragile man seen, and his peculiar mien was that of a scared namby-pamby, for the celeritous tear in his dilated eyes was truly palpable. The house of Usher was towering and had a dark gothic shade, covered by the menacing guise of the sable eyes of the ravens on the gable roof of a dilapidated mansion nearby the adjacent town, but it had a noticeable thin crack extending to the front of the house. The reflection of the moon had shone upon the upturned night, as the sound of the flapping wings and croaks of ravens were audible, and the brazen wind thus blew the eerie echoes of the howling over the damp and dank moat erected on the top of a steep rock. I could hear the dreaded gnawing of the horrid rats with their beady eyes, as they had gnawed at the fading wood of the walls of visible erosion, and the sturdy planks of the floors would creak upon every footstep taken, but an unknown weeping and breathing had resonated behind the creepy walls. Flashing lightning and roaring thunder had increased by the passing minutes. The roaring dewdrops of rain fell upon the slippery roof in glass windows. The hour of the vintage clock had rung in the parlour below the rust. I had sensed the presence of an unbidden visitor that was no stranger. Suddenly, I had heard the scream of a woman. In the gasping of Roderick, I had dashed from my chamber to find him completely discomposed, for his terrifying eyes were evidently bulging with heightened trepidation, and it seemed he had witnessed an unthinkable ghost in person.
Will she not be here anon? Is she not hurrying to upbraid me for my haste? Have I not heard her footstep on the stair? Do I not distinguish that heavy and horrible beating of her heart? Madman, madman, I tell you that she now stands without the door. Who? Who? Who?
I asked.
The Lady Madeline, behold!
Wow, what a fantastic read. You know, you can really feel his stage presence as you listen to that. And the story itself was intriguing. You know, it really brings you into the scene of this this man being scared by this ghost, you know, in this castle, I guess it is, that is haunted by this lady of Madeline. And epic in its presentation. And then I really liked flashing lightning and roaring thunder had increased by the passing minutes. The roaring dewdrops of rain fell upon the slippery roof and glass windows. The hour of the vintage clock had swung in the parlor below the rust. I had sensed the presence of an unbidden visitor that was no stranger. And comment. So just a beautiful write and a fantastic read, Frank. Great job. Thank you so much for sharing. Awesome. What did you think, Selena? Lou.
I think Lou's in the green room, is she? She set me on the board.
Yes. She is.
Okay, cool. Yes, I thought this was, as usual, scary as all get out. And very interesting. he's very good at all these kind of things. His voice is, I mean, that one was, that really scares you. That I was waiting for his horrible laugh, but I didn't. I was waiting just the headphones were popping to pull them off my head before he did it, but he didn't. Good boy, thank you so much. Yes, I thought it was brilliant. Thank you for sharing.
Excellent comment. And I'd like to welcome Liu Wildove to the show. Hello, Liu.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Hi, darling.
Hi, sweetie. How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
I don't know who else is on, so is it just us three?
It's just us three so far.
Okay.
Okay.
And what did you think of Frank Read and Write?
It was fantastic. Okay, what I loved about it was he has that classical voice. You hear him reading his poem, suddenly I heard the scream, a woman and the grasping of erotic as I had dashed from my chamber. You know, you could just that classical voice. And then he gets down to the last stanza and your hair, just, I started laughing with Katie's comment. Because it is so eerie when he changes his voice, because it is, you can hear the actor, the classical poet, and he just goes into that last couple of stanzas and the hair just stands up on your neck because you don't recognize his voice. And then when he goes, the hell, you know, it was great. It was just fabulous.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Eve.
Yeah, the Vincent Price type of reading. Oh, it was awesome.
It sure was.
And
I appreciate you calling in.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do we have next, Weaver?
And next we have Dahlias of Hope by Jenny the Deep. And Lulu, would you like to give this one a read for us, please?
Yes, it would be my honor.
Thank you.
If you would give me, oh my goodness, hold on, my page froze. Okay, here we go.
Good.
Dahlias of Hope by Jenny the Deep. Rain or shine, early risers and late bloomers share a crowded garden, struggling to prosper. Red dahlias growing independently together are on the verge of withering without water or light. One verdant bed of foliage barely hanging on, neglected, cluttered buds, nearly root-bound. Miraculous morning dew perspires stem to stem as a warm lemon haze defrosts the rough winter. Photosynthesizing in spring's pure glow, eye-smelling collie months finally melt away, fragrant flowers dancing in misty winds, alluring, buzzing bees by potent pheromones. Love is pollinating. Prosperity is illuminating. Out of the soil arises joyous possibilities, blooming on a windowsill under golden rain. Our seasoned dahlias giving the gift of hope in poem.
Beautiful read, Liu. And I really thought the poem was fantastic. You know, you can feel the hope and the aspiration in this poem, even through the melancholy of months finally melt away, fragrant flowers dancing in misty winds, alluring buzzing bees by potent pheromones. I thought it was fantastic. I also really liked blossoming on a windowsill under golden rays, our seasoned dahlias giving the gift of hope. Just beautiful. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, this one was very lovely. I like, obviously, we all love flowers in a garden, but it was quite sad to see that they were struggling because there wasn't enough light or water. And I did like that last stanza. Love is pollinating,
mm-hmm.
Prosperity is illuminating. Out of the soil arises joyous possibilities, blossoming on a windowsill under golden rays, our seasoned dahlias giving the gift of hope. So they're doing well because they're obviously inside, I presume, getting a lot of light. So yes, I thought it was very well done. Thank you so much for sharing, Jenny.
Absolutely. And you read it, do you? What did you think?
You know, her imagery was just spectacular in here. You know, talking about, you know, the Dahlia as a Pope. You know, she starts off that rain or shine, early risers and late bloomers. You know, shared a crowded garden struggling to prosper. You know, these bulbs, these beautiful flowers that, you know, that no matter how the seasons are, how the weather is, you know, she talks about on a verdant bed of foliage barely hanging on, you know, neglected, cluttered buds, nearly root-bound, you know, that because you're supposed to separate them, you know, to keep them growing. And, you know, I thought that she caught that wonderfully, but my favorite stanza was the one that Katie reread. It's the last stanza, and I thought, you know, that it's just beautiful because no matter the struggle, they always manage to try and bloom beautifully, and I thought she caught that wonderfully.
Absolutely. Fantastic comment, Lee. Thank you. All right, Katie, where are we to next?
And next. Oh, I am. I thought I was on mute. And next we have Flower Box Display Upon a Parched Patio by Victoria Frost. And I will give this one a read. Flower Box Display Upon a Parched Patio. Summer has come washing the world in the warm golden rays, caressing the face of the earth with his fingertips. I remember gazing out the window of summers ago, avoiding the heat and basking in the cool air pouring from the vents, dancing with the flyaways in my hair. Gazing upon the flower garden, the ground cracked and dried, begging to drink down the tepid waters from the hose hot from laying in the radiant sun. I remember when you strode into my life, dousing the garden, the ground in your concoction of sweet southern delight, of a smoky bourbon, rich with buttery words that melted from your silver tongue. It was nourishment to my starving nursery, abandoned on a journey and left to fend for myself. I remember when the flowers began to bud, straining against the heat of the day, uplifted by kind words and your gentle touch. Realization dawned on my hopeful buds as the saturated ground bubbled with your poison, salt water feeding into the noxious sludge. Now I stand at my window, escaping into the night, watering the soil in hopes of something positive to bloom, burst from this tainted grave of notions. But only poisoned weeds remain. End poem.
Wow. What a wonderful read and amazing, right? You know, it really is taking the metaphor of, you know, a parched and dry ground being watered by, the kind words and gentle touch, but, you know, rich with buttery words that melted from your silver tongue was nourishment to her starving nursery. Abandoned on a journey and left to fend for herself. You know, her metaphor is rich and delightful, amazing imagery as well. I enjoyed it a lot. So thank you for sharing that, Victoria. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, I agree. It's, again, this is another one that you have to read again to really get everything from it that you can. But I particularly liked this idea. So the sun's too, the ground is cracked and dry. And then I remember when you strode into my life, dousing the ground in your concoction of sweet southern delight of a smoky bourbon. Now that's a presence, isn't it? That's something you could, or somebody you could not ignore. And this is what's making the difference at this point. It was nourishment, attention. Because, you know, up until this point, this person had been relying on themselves, I presume. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Victoria.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, I that's beautifully read, Katie. And this poem by Victoria Frost is, you know, deeply sad. It, you know, when you expect something, you know, the summer, the flowers and everything blooming, and you got this person that, you know, caresses your face, and you're gazing out at the window, but your flower garden is now broken, it's cracked, and it's dried, you know. Somebody that seeps the life out of you, the energy out of you, and you're remembering them, how, you know, where she says, I remember when you strode into my life, dousing the ground in your concoction, a sweet southern delight, smoky bourbon, you know, believing that this person is going to water your garden, you know, because the relationship is something that has to be worked on. And when you realize this person that you've clinged to, you know, you realize that rich with buttery words, in other words, you know, they how do I call you, entrapped you into their life of something that they're not, because, you know, these buttery words melted from your silver tongue. It was nourishment to my starving nursery, you know, believing in this person that they're going to fulfill you in some way. And then you find out they just abandoned you on the journey and left you to defend for yourself. And so your flower, you know, she says that her garden was budding, but the heat of the day, his kind words, his gentle touch ended up, as she says here, as you saturated ground bubbled with your poison flowers and anything growing, feeding into the noxious sludge. So, you know, this is something, you know, that she hoped for, and in the end, it was something that just poisoned her. And now all the flowers are dead, and what grows in noxious soil is wheat.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Lou. Thank you. All right, Katie, where are we to next?
And next we have Speculate by Alternative Pixie. Now, I'm going to read the next couple of poems, Lou, just to give your voice a chance, because I want you to be able to comment. That's okay. I want you to be able to comment on them rather than bothering.
And I love hearing you read.
Oh, really? Let's hope I can do it properly.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, my dear. So this is Speculate by Alternative Pixie. There are videotapes of them backbiting my brains. It's irreverent, yet musical. Irrelevant, I'm sorry, yet musical. Applause. Contrast with jibe and chatter. It's a spotty circuit. The holographic fabric manifests into a tangible hue, and it's made up of the kind of explicitness you hold onto. Anyone can speculate on sour soil or destitute dirt. We all become worm food when we lay with the earth. Poem.
Wonderful read. And this is a new poet to me, Alternative Pixie. And I thought it was, you know, hard-hitting. You know, it speaks to losing the will to live. And she says in her author's notes, this wasn't meant to be about suicide, but it might be perceived that way. So I suppose it is. It was meant to be a sort of a nihilistic sort of piece. And you really get that out of that. I mean, you know, life has no meaning. And so you just let go and become worm food. And yeah, it's very hard hitting, really kind of sad. Makes you feel the right to the heart. And, you know, it's very deeply sad. Well written, great piece. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, this is when you're writing your emotions, how you feel. You know, we beat ourselves up. Like she said, the videotapes of them backbiting my brains. You know, it's you can hear, you know, how some people can be so cruel. And it just plays in your head. And I guess it could sound like a musical. And you know, and then she talks about the applause contrast with jibe and chatter, you know, to me, this is in some way where you just beat yourself up and you start hearing the chatter in your brain. And I just thought that this was well penned. It's deeply emotional, and congratulations on her front page pick.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Another very well written and deep piece of poetry. And like you, I don't think I have come across alternative Pixie before, but very good. I love that last stanza. Last stanzas are so much fun. Anyone can speculate on sour soil or destitute dirt. We all become worm food when we lay with the earth. Well, is that not the truth? It definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that, I mean, we know which way we're all heading. I mean, it's not as if it's going to be a surprise, but everybody is scared of it, is worried about it, is, you know, fights it. And I can understand why, you know, really, when you think of things like you become worm food when we lay in the earth. Again, as I said, beautifully written and really explicit. It really tells you what alternative Pixie is thinking about. And so thank you for sharing that with us.
Greg,
yeah.
You might want to read what Hope put in the
group.
Yeah,
I was just going to do that. Thank you. Hope Soul says in the group, I like the detachment of death and the emotions connected to it. When we're feeling so deep in dark emotions, it makes one feel like we have nothing to lose because we have lost it all. Yeah, very sad. Great comment, Hope. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
And next we have Behind Death's Door by Arcana Amour. And there is a SoundCloud. I wonder if you could click that for us, please.
I can, yes. Here we go.
I sit alone by fall of night, as darkness paints my somber sight, with dreams I dreamt of poor Lenore, who floats forlorn across the floor. Her ghostly face of sallow tone sends shivers upon each weeping bone, for 'tis the one I so adore, who shall share my affections evermore. Condemned to exist as spectral mist, beyond a life I can't restore. Now she wanders afar to some distant shore. Her cries echo throughout the globe. Each night I hear their sullen tone. My beloved has left me lost and alone, yet still she knocks upon my door. Piercing the night in beleaguered plight, this sorrowful room becomes a tomb. Mid sobs that wail with sad regale, her laments that claw my heart implore. My conscience denies me to ignore, reminding thus binding each vow I swore. To e'er remain faithful to my beloved Lenore. I sit to await my ghostly maiden, with sorrowful eyes so tearfully laden. As call of night descends the light, shouting unto this dark furore, gelid ghosts with haunting boasts search the shadows for mournful hosts. From yonder vale they sadly sail, towards my door they glide and pour. Oh, come to me and let me see my departed Lenore from seas of yore, to declare my dying love once more. I can't escape a date with fate that waits to loom among the gloom. As time grows near with dwindling fear, to share the arms of my beloved Lenore. The reaper wields his scythe in fields of ripened souls each harvest yields, but she came back to roam the globe, to seek my love she sought before. Denied her dreams, or so it seems, this lovelorn struggle to endure. In smoke that fades, in serenades, behind death's door, forevermore.
Wow, such an epic read, and I mean, his SoundClouds are as masterful as Frank's, you know, in his acting and his ability to bring on another character with his read, and you get lost in it, you know, you get just pulled in and to this world of darkness and gloom, where, you know, he listens to the cries of his beloved Lenore. And, you know, eventually he can't escape the date with fate that awaits the loam among the gloam. As time nears with dwindling fear to share the arms with my beloved Lenore, the reaper wields his scythe in fields of ripened souls each harvest yields. Just fantastic rhyme, inner rhyme and rhyme, just beautiful, right? And excellent share. Thank you so much, Arcana. What did you think, Weaver?
I thought, as usual, beautifully done. The music behind was wonderful. Unfortunately, and I'm sure Arcana won't mind me having a little joke, not at his expense, but Lenore in my country is a kind of a fabric softener. So when I read the first few lines, I thought, oh no, his washing machine's leaking. His Lenore's floating across the floor. But no, it's not. It's the name of a lady. So beautifully done, Arcana. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Liu, what are your thoughts? Unmute, Liu. Oh, hold on, she dropped.
Well, I can't comment if you don't pick me up. What I love about Arcana's poetry in the darkness is that longing, that love, that person that's passed away. You cannot live without them. And I thought that he beautifully did that. It's just the soft rhyme, the ache of the bleeding heart. Her cries echo throughout each night. I hear their sullen tone. My beloved has left me lost and alone. Yet she knocks upon my door, piercing the night in beleaguered light. This sorrowful room becomes a tomb where you know, we've heard, you know, people that when they've lost their loved ones, they cannot live without them. And you can just feel the angst and the anguish of, you know, his heart missing Lenore. And I thought that he beautifully did that where he says, here I pin wide the door, darkness here and nothing more, by, you know, Edgar Allan Poe. And I thought he did this wonderfully. It was spectacular.
Absolutely, yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Lee. All right, Katie, what do we have next?
And next we have Invisible by Pam Ray. And I don't think she's got a SoundCloud. Nope. So
No.
Didn't think. I always like to check, because sometimes she does and sometimes she doesn't. But this time I will read this one. Invisible by Pam Ray. There are ghost girls walking rainbows in the dark. You can find them in the alleys. You can find them in the park. They linger in the looming of neon lights that glare. Red lips and coal-rimmed eyes provide a gothic flare. They're freakish, fetish flames riding the L train. No one ever sees them, so they need the pleasure and pain. The northern winds are blowing through the hot dog stands, and the unholy chimes are ringing in this risen power land. The blues are crying out for love, guitar strings scream of lust, and metal knows that you'll survive if you remember not to trust. There are angels on the sidewalks that point the way to sin, and the powdered sugar offered has the magic of the gin. No one sees the sadness in cinnamon eyes. They're too busy jumping toadstools to see if they can fly. There's a kaleidoscopic colours in a Lolita mattress stain, invisible girl has ran away, left behind the paper cranes. No more folding origami, no more rabbit's feet for luck. The broken youth are walking dead, and no one gives a fuck. So drink your imported beer and smoke your fine cigar, while the dropping side cinders become another dying star. There's nothing left but the needle in the arm and the people paying cash. Forget saying, do no harm. The fading wraiths of girls scream to graffiti-painted walls, giving birth to invisible babies left in bathroom stalls. End poem. Wow.
Wow, yeah, wow is right. That's my thought, too. Pam has a way of nailing it, you know, like she did with this piece. You know, you can see all these ghosts of girls that exist in these alleys and parks with their red lips and full-rim eyes, providing a gothic glare. And, you know, it really is hard-hitting. It speaks to the trade of women in the city and the lives that they have to endure. So drink your imported beer and smoke your fine cigar while dropping cinders become another dying star. There's nothing left but the needle in the arm and the people paying cash, forget the saying, do no harm. Yeah, hard-hitting, impactful, right? Very well done. Thank you so much for sharing, Pam. Lou, what did you think?
Well, she did a fantastic job of writing to the musical lyrics for, you know, the old holy diver, you know, hard-hitting imagery. Her rhyme is, and you know, is just fabulous. You know, she uses a lot of power-packing, hitting imagery, you know, and just like the rock music, you know, the blues are crying out for love, guitar strings scream of lust, and metal knows that you'll survive if you remember not to trust, you know, and it just like, you know, also the scene, you know, and usually a lot of drugs and drinking and sex is going on during this, and, you know, like this, where she talked about cinema. No one sees the sadness in the cinnamon eyes. They're too busy jumping toadstools to see if they can fly. And I thought that she wonderfully caught the rock scene, heavy metal.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Lou. And Weaver, what did you think?
This is just another masterpiece. I love this so much. Bringing in all the colors. I love the alliteration. It's dotted throughout the poem, but it's not intrusive. You don't even notice it until you actually, you know, give it a thought, and you think, oh, yeah, there, it's lovely. But there are angels on the sidewalk that point the way to sin, and the powdered sugar offered as the magic of the gin.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. This has been pared down a lot, I think, and it really excels in being to the point. You know, there's no quoting this. This is definitely what's going on, and it's gritty and it's dark. And you have that last stanza. Oh my goodness! The fading wraiths of girls screamed to graffiti painted walls, giving birth to invisible babies left in bathroom stalls. Oh my goodness! Sorry, I stumbled a little bit a couple of times, Pam. I do apologize, but it was just very well done, and thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And what do we have next, Weaver?
And next we have Bon Appetit by Hope Stoll. Oh, how sweet. Okay, I'll read this one. Bon Appetit. Take your hand, firmly grip the feminine silk, unravel the delicate cream thread, pull me in two. Taste all that flows through these blue veins as it spills down your forearms. Color the stone shade of your black work tattoo with the heat that resides within me. Hold the cold steel blade, slice open the pomegranate seat, expose each chamber filled with seeds. Tilt it back and allow the arrows to fill your mouth until you are satisfied. Our bed is covered in rose petal plucked, the scent of drunken summers covers satin cheeks. Leave your finger imprints on my back, butterfly peacock feathers to brush your broad chest as you press your bold against my arches, stain my spine with your Porto wine. Deep hues, take your time, kiss the horizons where I lay, climb the peaks of my mountain tops. Ours, our pale jade moon flesh sings out in harmony with cherry crushed cranberries, bleeding in the dawn of the soul flares, applauding the romance novel that I write in the clouds with French painted toes. This eternal spirit pairs with your honey milk. It has saturated every part of my being. Drink, eat, feast on me. End poem.
Fantastic read. And then there's the author's notes. It says, I love the color red. It brings to my mind passion. I immediately thought of my partner ripping me apart and my love and want for him being exposed. The images of the black flowers made me think of a heart. The red butterfly made me think of a female back. And then the bloody flowers made me think of hunger. And that's just what I had in mind while creating this poem, just being devoured by my lover. Wow. That was raw, passionate, and sensual. I thought her love shines through it brilliantly. And you're just a beautiful write and a fantastic read as well, Weaver. And thank you for sharing, Hope Soul. Much appreciated. And Lee, what did you think?
I thought this was deeply rich. It was the imagery and the sensuality just made your mouth water. You know, when you want somebody just so much to find every ripe fruit that you're providing for them and for them to enjoy the taste and the flavor of the passion that you have for them. And, she says that, starting off, take your hands, firmly grip the feminine silk, unravel the delicate cream thread, pull me into two. You know, just wanting to just have somebody bear yourself open and to taste the lust and everything that you want for them. And then, you know, she says our bed is covered in rose petal pluck, the scent of drunken summers covers satin sheets, leave your finger imprints on my back. You know, so this was just absolutely delicious. And I love the color rojo también, the color red also. Beautiful Hope and beautiful read, Katie.
Great comment, Liu. And in the group, Selena says, wonderful write, Hope, my friend, always stunning imagery, beautiful emotive lines, and wonderful presentation. Excellent as always, my love. And she said, lovely read, Katie. But what did you think of the poem, Katie?
Oh, well, absolutely beautiful, isn't it? I mean, it's so much love and caring. And yes, I agree. Red is, it's for passion. And you can see why, because the heat involved in this was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for allowing me to read that. It was fun.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And what do we have next?
No, that is the question of the evening. What do we have next? Oh, yes, I got it. Don't nobody panic. Don't panic. This is the only fun I have, this fellow. Oh, dear. Okay, there we have. Aha, got it. Oh, stop jumping. There we are. Just keep disappearing on me. We have March by Blue Raven. And I wonder, Gray, if you could give us a read on that one, please.
Sure. Just 1 second here. So we have March.
I fooled you. You thought I was going to read this one, too.
So this is March by Blue Raven. There's always the wind and birds that ride the twisting branches with ruffled feathers of half-closed eyes. Do they anchor their feet in pregnant buds that swell between the thorns of mesquite? Or are their bodies hollow, just a collection of bone and plumage, a metaphor for balance in an unstable world? Wonders multiply, and the mood of each day is uncertain as time flows towards April. And flocks of cowbirds wheel in unreadable patterns above the prairie and pastures, alive with the antics of spring-born calves. End poem. And this is inspired by the poem Spring by Mary Oliver. But yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, you know, when you watch birds balance on a branch in the wind, you wonder how they do it. You know, they have to face such harrowing winds, you know, and I really thought the image of the flocks of cowbirds wheel in unreadable patterns above the prairie and pastures, alive with the antics of spring and born calves, was fantastic imagery. And, you know, it really is a wonderful poem. Well done. Thank you so much, Blue Raven, for sharing. What did you think, Leah?
You did that fabulous read of her poem. You know, this poem gives me a lot of thought. You know, she talks about that this is a metaphor for balance in an unstable world. You know, we see these birds, you know, just fluttering and flying on these branches, especially mesquite, because they have thorns. And she talks about, do they anchor their feet in pregnant buds that swell between the thorns and mesquite, you know, and yet they can balance and you know, sit and rest on these thorny limbs. And, you know, we live in a thorny world, and, you know, we just have to move with the flow. And, you know, we can't change the thorns, but we can learn to, bypass them if we can. And, you know, be like these birds on the, you know, the wind that sits on these limbs of thorns and in this troubled world. And I thought this was wonderfully penned. I enjoyed her metaphors.
Thank you, Lee. And Selena in the group says, great read, Gray, and a wonderful nature piece so full of imagery and expressing a real love for nature. Great comment. Thank you, Selena. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, we know me and my love affair with wind. I do love the wind. I love what it does. You can see its passage as it moves. I think it's just amazing. Yeah, and this is also amazing. This is the fact that birds can balance so incredibly well. I don't know how. I have a huge rowan tree. It's been with me through five different moves to five different gardens, and it's now been in place for a long time. And the amount of buds and little, no, not buds. No, not buds. What's the other thing I'm thinking of? Oh, anyway, never mind. It's a lovely tree, and they balance and eat the seeds off it and on the tiniest, thinnest little branches. And they do it. I don't know how they do it. They don't fall off. They just eat. I think it's great. So beautifully written, and I could see it all. And I love that, a metaphor for balance in an unstable world. Oh, my goodness, you're right. Couldn't get any more unstable than it is at the moment. So yes, bringing to mind the fact that we have to keep ourselves on the straight and narrow and try not to go too far one way or t'other, and just keep calm and carry on. I liked it a lot. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, so I think we're into the open poetry now, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I hadn't realized the time had gone so quickly. Yeah, give me a moment.
It starts with sharp.
Thank you. I didn't even see it. Wow. I'll be there in a moment. Don't worry. We'll get there. There we are. Got them. Okay. Right. Sharp. Here we go with you, Mr. Sharp. Now, I'm just checking. Yes. Do you have a SoundCloud for this? Do we?
Yeah.
Ah, good. Thank you.
All right. Here we go.
Stripped of emotion. I stare at the smudges on the erased de Kooning, stepping closer and stepping back once again. My feet accidentally squeak on the pergo wood floor. I feel nothing. People mull about looking at the contemporary art, engaged in quiet conversations, quiet laughter. I lose myself in the nothingness of the de Kooning, hung on an otherwise blank wall at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. My mind wanders to just outside Jerusalem, standing on future sacred ground. I look up at the cross that holds Jesus, palms and feet nailed into the firm grip of the cypress. My eyes scan the bellowing crowd. Anguish, pain, and tears flood just outside the city walls. I wonder to myself if Rauschenberg felt such emotion too. I tilt my head ever so slightly to the left, examining the erasure marks. Doing the math, I surmise that if Kennedy had done the same, he would have evaded the bite of the bullet in Dealey Plaza. Now, I stand on a grassy knoll, overwhelmed with emotion. I look around. A city weeps. A country mourns. I consider the moment. Rauschenberg frantically, vehemently erasing de Kooning's drawing with little thought. A mad scramble like at the Las Vegas Village. Stephen Craig Paddock scattershot into a crowd. People dropping or diving to the ground. De Kooning's drawing ripped to pieces. Torn like a country lost to politics. Insanity. That didn't happen. Rauschenberg was not frantic. He was calculating, carefully deconstructing the ideas of de Kooning. I notice a janitor wheeling a mop bucket, following a young woman who stops, points to the floor. I don't see anything from where I sit, but then again, do any of us really see the whole picture? I can make out parts of the painting there. Looks like the American flag, maybe a fireman kneeling. The woman looks distraught. Maybe the moment has become too much for her, too. Yeah, Rauschenberg, he took his time. He knew what he was doing. Taking apart the hard work of another man is a tedious job. Standing, I again approach the nothingness up close. I see the remnants, flecks of what had existed before de Kooning gave his express permission to Rauschenberg to alter his picture forever. But I can detect no sense of what existed before. That night, in the canopy by Hilton, overlooking San Francisco, I watched the news. Tucker Carlson espouses opinions about the insurrection of January 6th. Block eraser in hand, carefully he rubs out the works of Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, without their permission. People climb walls, break windows, storm the Capitol, each given an eraser by Trump, by Carlson. No emotion, just cold calculation. I turn the TV off. I just can't put my John Hancock on that. It is overcast, mid-November 1863, in a Pennsylvania field near the town of Gettysburg. Weary and worn, but buoyed, Lincoln addresses the gathering crowd. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. The emotion of the crowd is palpable. I admire the resolve to sacrifice self for ideals. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that that nation might live. I stand in awe like all the others and applaud. In a muddy trench, 1918, north of Lille, France, I sit talking to Corporal Martin. His back rests against the front side of the ditch. His rifle between his legs rests against his chest. He has a small American flag patch in one hand, a picture of a beautiful girl in the other. He kisses the picture, putting it into his breast pocket, salutes the flag and does the same. Clutching his gun, he jumps out and over the berm. A beautiful drawing erased, just a blank white slate, no emotion. Bullets ricochet off of the landing craft. June 6, 1944, Colonel Rogers screams, "Disembark!" Men that are boys, boys dressed as men, splash into the waist-high Atlantic at Omaha Beach. Screams fill the air, some from determination, others from the undertow of barbed wire waves tearing skin, still others from German machine gun rounds. In waves, they wade through the blood crashing upon the shore, dodging the dead, running for the safety at the base of the cliffs where bravery climbs the grim face of freedom, endangered. No one will remember what has been erased. I turn the TV back on. The images boggle. People, Americans scaling walls of the United States Capitol, assaulting democracy. I am sitting in eighth grade social studies class. Mr. Carlson, who looks a bit like old Abe, explains the sacrifices people, families have made to fight for my freedom. I hide the emotion, choked up with American pride. January 6, 2021, I watch as President Trump speaks. Today, we see a very important event, though, because right over there, right there, we see the event that's going to take place, and I'm going to be watching because history is going to be made. We're going to see whether or not we have great and courageous leaders, or whether or not we have leaders that should be ashamed of themselves throughout history. Throughout eternity, they'll be ashamed. And you know what? If they do the wrong thing, we should never, ever forget what they did. never forget. History can never be erased. Freedom can never be erased.
Wow, what a fantastic SoundCloud. Very powerful in its presentation. You know, he starts out by staring at the painting or the erased de Kooning, which is I can't think of his name here. Something. Anyway, the artist that created that piece by erasing another artist's piece, Rauschenberg, took his time. He knew what he was doing. Taking apart the hard work of another man is a tedious job. And, you know, he starts with that, and then, you know, he goes to the news, Tucker Carlson espouses opinions about the insurrection of January 6th. Block eraser in hand, carefully he rubs out the works of Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, without their permission. People climb walls, break windows, storm the Capitol, each given an eraser by Trump, by Carlson. No emotion, just cold calculations. He turns off the TV, he just can't put his John Hancock on that. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was a trip through American history and, you know, I really enjoyed it. I'm sitting in the 8th grade social studies class. Mr. Carlson, who looks a little bit like old Abe, explains the sacrifice people, families have made to fight for his freedom. He hides his emotion, choked up with American pride. And then... I really enjoyed the final couplet. History can never be erased. Freedom can never be erased. That's a hard-hitting, powerful poem. Very well done. Thank you for sharing that, Scott. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, yes, this is an epic write. And you read it beautifully. Really read it very well. It gave me an insight, which obviously I didn't have before. Because we're so insular in Great Britain, we tend to not really look outside of our country much. And this is so interesting to me to hear all these different opinions and different on different events. Really, I particularly liked, and I can't even tell you why, I noticed a janitor wheeling a mop bucket following a young woman who stops, points to the floor. I don't see anything from where I sit. But then again, do any of us really see the whole picture? Now, that's very clever. That's a very clever take on the fact that, yeah, we can see little bits and pieces, but we very generally don't see the whole big picture or don't think about the big picture. We only deal with what affects us. So, yeah, I thought it was brilliantly written. I could see he took a lot of time in his AN. It explains about how, you know, the method and the way he did this, and they kept visiting it and, you know, shining it a little bit more. And yeah, and I'm really glad that he decided to let us see it, because I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, I agree with everybody. This was an epic poem, you know, just snapshots of history, you know, and where he talks about, I wonder to myself if Rauschenberg felt such emotion too. You know, when you look at pictures, because, you know, he was an artist, and paintings, you know, how much of this is just being exposed and how much do we not know? And, you know, as in time, these snapshots in time, do we feel the same emotions that these people had gone through, all these different things? Where he talks about, you know, the shootings, he talks about history, he talks about religious subjects, you know, he talks about the news. Do we look, are we stuck on one emotion, or do we allow the other emotions? You know, the thing is that sometimes, you know, they believe that, you know, have we seen so much violence in our life? Are we losing our emotions and our humanity? And, you know, he brings out here an incident which Gray brought out when he was in eighth grade. And the teacher, you know, I laughed when he said his teacher looked like old Abe. And, you know, that made me smile. But, you know, the subject that he was being taught was, do you realize how our freedom came about and how do you feel about that? And so, you know, I do believe that many people have been stripped of their emotions, but do we allow ourselves to be stripped of these emotions and not have pride and sympathy and, you know, embrace our humanity?
Yeah, exactly. Great comment, Lee. Thank you so much. All right, what do we have next?
All right, let's see. Next we have Be Careful What You Ask For by Lawrence 67. And Gray, could you read this for us, please?
Sure, you bet. Be Careful What You Ask For by Lawrence 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Elfie. Write a poem about the crew at L&P with Weaver of Washed Dreams. Sounds better than Wet Dreams, don't you think? The Rexter. Gray Eyes, Brian Marine Smith, and Stelina. I can't say nothing unangelic about the angel Stelina. She's been with us since the beginning. And then there's Pam Ray. Come on, Dots. Hurry it up. We coming, Master. Dot down, dot down. Leave them. Don't ask no questions. I said no questions. That's enough. Punctuatory. Punctuation. Humor now. Back to the script. I am Nigel, and this is Elfie, and we are here to put our poem for your approval. So what do you think? Weaver of Wet Dreams? Oh my, it is a steamy one. My goodness, is it hot in here? Mercy. How about you? Crying in the Rain Smith? Well, I really like this boo-hoo type of write. Wah, wah, wah. And what about you, Rex? Bah, ha, ha, ha. Well, thank you for that smart aleck remark, Rex. Wah, ha, 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 ha. Security. Pam, Pam. Here they are right there. Pam, right. Oh, so you can't even think you can just walk up and talk smack to these fine, take humor at all costs, humor is funny, people. Well, we'll see about that. Nigel. Elfie, going for the shoe. Run, Elfie, run. Elfie. Ay, caramba, patas. Mobile, vamanus. Arriba, arriba. Ande, ande. Rex, wahahaha. And then in the author's notes, he says, dedicated to some very fine humans that can laugh at themselves. But just in case, I believe it shall be MIA when this is played. Need reader. Thank you. Sign the cat's cause. Lawrence 67 is a real pussy and a chicken chet. great poem. I thought it was funny. You know, I really enjoy his Nigel and Elfie characters that he brings out in his rights. And this one was epic, and it's making fun of the cast of LNP and Weaver of Wet Dreams. And fantastic play on the characters of LNP. I thought it was great. Thank you for sharing, and appreciate the share, Lawrence 67. And what did you think, Weaver of Wet Dreams?
Oh my goodness. Oh, he's such a boy. I love his rights. I really do. They always make me laugh right from the very beginning when I first came across his work. I think he's so clever. And he's such a little devil. But yeah, I loved it. I really loved it. Although I'm not very sure about my new name. It might not go down too well. Oh my goodness me. Oh, God, he's funny.
That's going to stick.
I know it. I can just see it. Oh, and what would you like? like to say, Weaver of Wet Dreams, nothing. I'll never talk about it. So good. And I love this. Oh, Rexter. I love that. Rexter. Oh, yes. Very good. Thank you so much for sharing. It was fun.
Great comment. Thank you. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Well, my favorite part was where Alfie tells him, you know, well, Nigel's saying, Alfie, she's going for their shoe. Run, Alfie, run. And then Alfie says, ay, caramba, patas moladas. Vámonos arriba, arriba. Andale, andale. And, you know, just so that people know that that's a cartoon here with Speedy Gonzalez from Warner Brothers. And, of course, he's the fastest mouse in Mexico. So I really like how he ended it for, you know, to run and hide because he's going to wonder what the reaction is to this fabulous poem that he wrote for Pam, Rexy, and Grey Eyes. And, of course, Weaver. Oh, my God. That's it. Oh, girl, you I loved it.
So good. So funny.
Great comment. Great comment. All right, what do we have next?
And next we have A Slave to Your Love by Stelina. And I imagine there'll be a SoundCloud, yeah? Yes.
Yeah.
You could. Thank you.
All right, I will play that. Here we go. 1 second. All right.
When you slip back the cool sheets and invite me in, I eagerly enter your web of sweet seductive sin, where you are my master and I'm your willing slave. Feeling your skin on mine, it's impossible to behave. I hear your breathing quicken at my tantalizing touch. I whisper into our urgent kiss, I want you, oh so much. We fly through the twilight on wings of dark desire, with our moans of ecstasy soaring higher and higher. When you take me to realms of unabandoned pleasure, I can refuse you nothing. My surrender has no measure. My only aim is to give you all that which you seek, for your expertise in the art of love leaves me weak. Sliding ice down my curves, melting upon my heat, as you light a raging fire from my head to my feet. You know how to skillfully guide my passion, my body to bend, my ebbs and flows to fashion. In this moment, nothing else exists in the world but you and I, and as we become one, I tremble with a deep, shuddering sigh. As I feel your weight upon me, see your hunger from above, you are an irresistible opiate, and I'm a slave to your love.
Wow. That was a beautiful read and such a powerful poem. You know, you can feel the passion and the sensuality and the seduction in the right. You know, it really is an ice melter for sure. It's full of heat, and that heat just really comes through and burns up the airwaves with her read and her write. Just a powerful, powerful poem. Well done, Selena, and thank you for sharing. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, that voice. Mm. So sweet, seductive. Could lead anybody into any kind of sin they want. Wow, she's good. I bet she has these ideas going around. And you should write them all down. How to seduce. How to seduce the man in your life. Yes, you could do that so easily. The music behind her voice was perfect too. It had this kind of sweet but you could feel the beats in it. Lovely. Yes, I think I have now become another greasy blob. Beautifully done. Sliding ice down my curves. I don't know if anybody's ever felt that, and I don't know if anybody's ever used ice cubes at certain times in their lives. I tell you, it is wonderful.
Used ice cubes?
I said, I said, yes, I have. I just wondered if other people have. But, oh, my goodness me, that's a shock to the system in a very pleasant way. Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. Well done, my dear. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And, Lee, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I love the music behind it because it had this beautiful pulse to it. You know, you could just see bodies moving in rhythm to it, you know, where she talks about where you are my master and I am your willing slave, feeling your skin on mine. It's impossible to behave. That was just so delicious and so good. And then she goes into, I hear you're breathing quick, and oh, there's nothing like listening to somebody breathe when they're excited. At my tantalizing touch, I whisper into your urgent kiss, I want you, oh, so much. Oh, man, it just eats. I could read something from each stanza. It was just so, you know, you guys talked about the ice, but I really loved where she says, as I feel your weight upon me, see your hunger from above, you're an irresistible opiate, and I am slave to your love. This was beautiful. It was delicious. The music was just enrapturing. And I just loved the whole thing, Delita.
Great comment, Lee. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess we're back to front page picks.
Yes, we are. And we have Come Beside Me Once More by Big Daddy Love. And Gray, could you give us a read for us, please?
Yeah, sure. Come Beside Me Once More, (the brevity) by Big Daddy Love. Evening sun descending, darkened cloudy skies. Solitary seagull riding gusts of wind cries. Clouds lay like ink blots, cold and stretch. Sea sponges mirror luscious lavender, tangerine and gold, dappling light, blotting, dark and bold. Come back beside me. Let your chestnut curls fall upon my naked navel, tickling my tummy. Use again your pretty nails to carve scarlet cursive script upon my chest. Your loveliest of names, I'm yours, they proclaimed. The heavens cloud my eyes with these celestial skies. Exhaling out my breath, I see your ghost and sigh. Lonely shell of me, what little didn't die? End poem. And he says in his author's notes, brevity, one lonely man's wish, his soulmate's company once more. And, yeah, I thought it was wonderful, right? it's taken from a longer poem. But, yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, you know, you really felt the want and the desire and the need for this person, but that person's already died. And now it's his ghost that he sees. And the lonely shell of him, what little didn't die. Such a powerful, hard-hitting poem. And I recognize that picture as one I've used before, too. I can't remember what poem it was, but, yeah, I've used that picture.
Yeah, I have it on one of my poems.
Yeah, great write, powerful brevity, you know. It's hard-hitting, impactful, and you can feel the loss and the desire. So beautifully done. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, it was a bit of deja vu for me because I heard this read on the Wednesday Keeping It Brief show. So, and it reads just as well the second time around. It's beautiful. So many lovely. I at the time and now again, I loved Use Again Your Pretty Nails to Carve Scarlet Cursive Script Upon My Chest. Your loveliest of names, I'm yours, they proclaimed. Lovely. Beautifully done. So thank you again for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
Did you forget my name?
Well, I was wondering if my
you know, this is... why? You know, for me, this was such a beautiful poem, and it's deeply sad because, you know, when you deeply, you know, where he talks about the solitary seagull riding gust of wind cries, you know, does that person hear your outcries? You know, you want them to once more come back to you, even if it's in a dream where he says, come back beside me. Let your chestnut curls fall upon my naked navel, tickling my tummy, you know, and for her to once more use her nails to write her name upon his chest. And, you know, where he says the heaven clouds my eyes with the celestial skies, you know, you just cannot stop thinking about that person you love. And, you know, and he says that exhaling out of my breath, I see your ghost inside, the lonely shell of me, what little won't die. And it's those memories of her.
Yeah. But fabulous comment, and I appreciate it. Great read. I mean, sorry. Great poem. Thank you for sharing. Sorry,
good read, great.
Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, Weaver?
I can hear you.
Oh, good. Well, everything went quiet, and I thought, oh, no, I've dropped again. But no, I'm still here. Cool. Right, we have, next up, 50 Shades of Red, GRL17.
Can I read it since it's short?
Yes. Yes, it's not too bad.
Yay, thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, Katie.
My pleasure.
50 Shades of Red by CRL17. Mars, stop sign, setting sun, poppies, strawberries, roses, kidney beans, apples, rubies, chili peppers, lobsters, cardinals, beets, maple leaves, tomatoes, blood, watermelon, traffic lights, raspberries, pomegranate, potatoes, tulips, garnets, bottle brush paprika, wine, cherries, grapes, poinsettias, Irish setters, ruby slippers, holy berries, bell peppers, licorice, fire trucks, lipstick, robins, sunburns, M&Ms, bricks, hair, lips, sangria, lollipops, hibiscus, nail polish, a fox, raw meat, fire, hearts, and poem.
Great read, Lee. And that's definitely 50 Shades of Red. You know, he captured each one quite beautifully. And I enjoyed it, you know. Mars, stop sign, setting sun, poppies, strawberries, roses, kidney beans, apples, rubies, chili peppers, lobsters, cardinals, beets. It was definitely a thought-provoking poem, you know, really brought all those things to life with its right. So great job. Thank you for sharing, CRL 17. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was brilliant. I liked it a lot. I don't think there's quite 50 mentioned, but it was beautifully done. I got a little bit worried when we got to a fox and then immediately followed by raw meat. I thought, taking a turn downwards here. But then we had fire, so obviously he was cooking the raw meat. That's all right then. I think it was very clever. I really liked it. I love the 50 shades of red so vibrant in that picture. It really, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I'm now hungry. So thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Lou, what did you think?
Well, he wrote in his author's notes, I have way too much free time on my hands. And I was looking at what El Char wrote. She goes, ha ha, too much free time. Ha, well, if you got a front page pick, congratulations. I like almost everything in your 50 Shades of Red. How about Red Carpet and Blood Moon and Rudolph's Nose? And then he answered her back. He says, I could have written more than 50, but then it wouldn't have been the same meaning. So, you know, I just love his sense of humor here. I loved every shade of red that he has up here. It was enjoyable. And, of course, he ended it with fire and hearts. And I thought that that was a great ending.
Yeah. Great comment. Thank you, Leah. And Weaver, what did you think?
Very clever. Very clever.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah. I think I've already made comments on this, Ray.
Yeah, you did, actually. Thank you.
No problem.
Raw meat.
Yeah, remember the raw meat.
And foxes. And the foxes.
Yeah. Conjures up a picture we'd rather not have in our minds, but wonderful. Very clever.
All right, what do we have next?
For me.
Yeah.
We have next. Right, I'm over it. Again, you see, very difficult for me to make up what the actual title is, so bear with me. And Tomorrow Will Settle Beyond and Beyond by Harko Paco. And Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
And Tomorrow Will Settle Beyond and Beyond by Harko Paco. We wait. A birch tree extends beyond heaven's passing, following the fallen flowers that canvas your lips, secretly impressing to an undying love and home. Well, that was fantastic. I mean, it's short, but it's sweet. You know, it really gets its point across. A birch tree extends beyond heaven's passing. That was great. As well as impressing to an undying love as an ending. So fantastic job. Beautifully done. Thank you for sharing, Harko Paco. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yeah, his brevities are second to none, aren't they? I do enjoy them. Pack so much in. I like the fact that we wait. Now, that's a lovely start because you know you want to hear what's coming next. So we wait. A birch tree extends beyond heaven's passing. Really beautifully expressed all his thoughts. And the last two lines, as you said, Gray, impressing to an undying love. Beautifully, beautifully written. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. Harko Paco.
Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. Ed Lee, what did you think?
You know, one of the things that Adam writes is beautiful love poems, you know. You don't have to say much. And his wording is just captures all these emotions where, you know, this, for me, it's like a secret love that you have for someone, and how when you watch nature, you wish just like what you see in nature is something you could do to that human that you love so much, to press your lips against theirs. This is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Leah. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
And next we have... No. That's the wrong... Is that the right place? Yes. The Oh, yeah, we got it right. The Encounter by N. Chains is our next one. And I will read this. Oh, doesn't she look cheerful? In Chains, The Encounter. I gave elbow to the silver lining in a cloudy sky, where dreams' blood once laid like stones on layers and layers of sanguine post. It notes, flowers would bloom into dust, death's curling tongue to shadows, inked white bones before yesterday held trickles across whiskey, coating of puckered lips, as ghosts aplenty did kiss death, of sun upon damp, dead wood, hiding that corpse manual, pick-fucking maniac. Stars would drag along tailboards of water, faucet lights hang gliding from a dilated eye, just above the evergreen, until the fall within, peeling off still orangey hues. Dead roses, in a tidy little line, string a leak of it, luminescent butterflies. By the skin of my teeth I die, in last-minute vein painting seeds, in ardor pours while plasma of mist stirs an oasis. My crib of eternal rest cowers in the north, buckling to long-lost ships, bony vessel plunging into silhouette's cupped moat. Short-lived remnants of aphotic moon fading in winter's deep blue stare, along the rim of sniffed dead grass winds as red insect, mouth parts, rear a poppy's head from out of the soil like a jumping fish in shore's saltwater ripples, taking a bow, plucking hard at rusted violin strings, tangled in twiggy tailcoats, losing weight. End poem.
Wow, beautiful read. And she says, I am just me in this world of poetry. Point to note, the encounter is that of life. Life is the life as an encounter. Do you understand? Question mark. I thought it was wonderful. You know, it speaks to us in her style, her fantastic style of darkness mixed with light, you know, what such is life, you know, dark and light. You know, it's image filled, emotion filled, and it was deeply engaging throughout. So beautiful read, Weaver, and thank you for sharing In Chains. Much, much appreciated. Lee, what did you think?
You know, her imagery in here is deeply painful, you know, how we go through life and how hard things are and how it develops, how we see things, you know, and the feelings that we express and that we put into poetry of her pain, short-lived, you know, of love and the things that we go through, short-lived remnants of, as photonic moon fading in winter's deep blue, you know how she talks about, you know, it's like sometimes you're just like an insect that's just sitting on dead grass that's just watching the things in life go by, and you know, and it's just a cult. And I love her imagery here, there are dead roses in a tiny little line springing a leak of luminescent butterflies, that moment where you believe you finally found happiness in your life. And she brings out here that it's just as beautiful as it was only short-lived.
Absolutely. Great comment, Leah. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, I didn't quite get the cadence correct. I do apologize. It's a little bit difficult for me to read that as I should have read it because I haven't read it before. So my apologies for that, but it was very interesting to read. It really was. As I liked, as ghosts aplenty did kiss death, a sun upon damp dead wood, hiding that corpse's manual, tick fucking manic. I still can't do it. Yes, I thought that was very hard hitting. Wow. I get them a feeling of a little bit of anger behind this. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's I think basically she wants to kick somebody's butt. And that's coming through quite well, I think, but contained, which is also very good. It's hinted at, which is a good thing, because those people who understand will understand it, and those people who don't won't have a clue. And that's what life is about, I think, really, in a nutshell. So, beautifully done. I like the way it was laid out. Very cool. It just bounces along. So, yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was excellent.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. All right, what do we have next, Weaver?
And next we have Denudement by Erik Svensson. It's an adult poem, and we... Sorry, I'm just laughing at Frank's comment. Oh, dear. And we don't have a SoundCloud, so if you could read this for us, please, Gray.
Sure. All right, here we go. This is Denudement by Erik Svensson. Abysmal ache quake, shake myself against frigid, fierce winds, rigidly south pole driven, sleet rain, sections corrode, willpower, platoons festoon, rapid rasp of war, forest frost culls raspberry bushes, cold mercenary cutlasses, decapitates willpower, intermittent icy machine gun pellets pound, pound, implode with the fierceness of your powerful arms, defiant, naked in sheepskin slippers you stand, splendidly steaming after a scalding shower, misty moors reconnoiter your navel, drill sergeant tendrils explore your black forest pews, abysmal ache, quake, shake myself, stance the resistance by Jupiter, Jove, and all devious deities, willing recruit. I submit. Still, your formidable charm disarms, demands its ribald ransom. Your oh so real, so robustly ready, Randy, surreal, real. Unlike the child main bane of current contentious gay AI boyfriends on YouTube, abysmal ache quake, shake myself against such fierce, frigid denouement. End poem. Well, that was powerful. It speaks to the world around us and how it affects our libido, and by Jupiter, Jove, and all devious deities, willing recruit, I submit. Still, your formidable charms disarm, demands its ribald ransom. Wow, hard-hitting poem, very well written, and thank you for sharing, Erik. Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, this was this was a cry from the heart, I kind of think. When you get something like abysmal ache, quake, shake myself against frigid, fierce winds, rigidly south pole driven, sleet sections corrode willpower. That's powerful. That is somebody who's looking deep, somebody looking very deep. And I don't know, talking about things that they find not so easy to talk about, I get the feeling. I could be completely wrong, but I really did enjoy it. And then we have Drill Sergeant Tendrils, Explore Your Black Forest Pubes, Abysmal Ache, Quake, Shake Myself, Stance de Resistance. I like it. It was very clever, as usual. So thank you for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Liu, what are your thoughts?
You know, I had to go look to see what he was writing about. He was writing to a poem about Gerald Manley Hopkins. And he says, basically, it says that, you know, when poets interrupt themselves and say self-reflective aside, creating a poem that's actively being composed now. And, you know, it says that to write this on any topic, and it says it's to show self-wonderment, question, self-reflection of your own creation. And he told the poets not to overdo it. And I don't think he did this. I think he did this beautifully, where he captured moments where he talks about defiant, naked in sheepskin slippers you stand, splendidly steaming after a scalding showers, misty moors reconnector your navel, you know, and then he goes, by Jupiter, Jove, and all devious deities, willing recruit, I submit. Still your formidable charms disarm, demands its rebel ransom. And I thought he did a fabulous job in this. I'm not familiar with this poet. I'm going to have to go look him up, because these are just moments of time that are captured, and it's your thoughts, not thinking, just laying them down. And I thought he did this wonderfully.
Great comment, Liu. Thank you for sharing. All right, Liu, what do we have next?
Okay, next we have Aware, I Have No Control. Excuse me a moment. By If You're Abs.
Your Abs.
Yeah, got it. Aware, I Have No Control. This is quite long, so I'll give this one a read. Aware, I Have No Control. Saturday, birthday party for Mom and Jim at my brother Rick's pool after a Friday night of speed chess and moist green cigarettes. We rapido types refer to herb as equalizer, since the game off balls down to 64 squares. Awareness, not book moves. I read a quote once that went, the only reward of awareness is control. But I can't speak to that, as I can't control myself most days. Take horse racing by phone. I can usually make money by buying the form, betting modest amounts of stakes, races, and quitting while I'm ahead. But do I? Nope. Having a positive balance calls me like a siren to the rocks. And once I get waves pulse pounding with bourbon chaser, there's no stopping till my cyber balance is zero. Sunday, a roast turkey brunch, bon voyage day, with another exercise in futility. I volunteered to cook the bird in Mum's gas oven as Bro Ray tended to the topsoil mulch in her garden. I knew the real stat was trickier than a drunk leprechaun on April the 1st, so when I put it on 375, I was praying for 325 to 350. My wife was out looking for a plant for Ray's girlfriend, so I told her to buy an oven thermometer. Turned out the first hour cooked at 300, so I jacked the rheostat to 400 from 375. Checked 10 minutes later, and the oven is, drum roll, 425. What? Let us genuflect to the big guy or gal for meat thermometers. Anywho, I carved, we ate, drank red wine, and played cards, though Mom was too active in the kitchen to suit me, whipping potatoes, boiling corn, broccoli, and cauliflower. She still has her Vittles mojo working, all the while asking each son and daughter-in-law to take this picture or that piece of furniture. When she kicks the proverbial bucket, did you know the bucket was a yoke for pigs in the slaughterhouse? Me either. Bless her bones, she'll outlive me. She's already outlived von Gutt, and it's still in her kitchen, so here I lay on the sofa, having delivered Jimbo to the airport, my wife visiting a cousin, Mom perched and napping in the family room whilst I write a Zed Jutistu poem, which is fitting because my styling's often settled on the bottom rung of the alphabet world. End poem.
Great read, Weaver. And I enjoyed it. He says in his author's notes, for a contest, basically an overblown and none too accurate attempt at the prompt, but it sort of summed up my week slash weekend. So here we are. Hey, at least I stopped. At least I stayed under the word count, word limit. Word count 404. I'll probably delete it. Cheers, kids. But, I mean, you know, it really speaks to us in If You're Ab's style. I really miss him around. It's great to see him on his right. And, you know, he was a host on LNP a while back, which is how I got to know him. But, you know, you can feel his style and his voice in this right. So well done. Thank you for sharing. Great read, Weaver. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
You know, I thought he did a fabulous job of trying to pin his weekend with his family. You know, the poem that he was writing for in the contest was, you know, talking about, let me look at that. Zuhitsu means running paintbrush, and it's defined as a Japanese form in Jinar, comparable to lyric essay compressive casual, loosely connected fragments and ideas in a haphazard, orderly fashion, you know. And I thought that, you know, he did that, you know, fabulous, going from, you know, what one event to the other, you know, taking Jimbo to the airport, talking about his mother, you know, her cooking, and, you know, it just went back and forth just like a paintbrush or Japanese writing. And I thought that, you know, he did this wonderfully. And, you know, I really enjoyed where he said that he hopes that his mother is going to outlive them all. And, you know, it says, while so here, as I lay on the sofa, having delivered Jimbo to the airport, my wife visiting my cousin, you know, and he does, you could just see that paintbrush moving. So I enjoyed this very much. And you did a fabulous read.
Great comment. Thank you, Liu. And Weaver, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I love the style. Again, it took me a minute or two to get into it, but I just loved it. It just and the fact that you can, basically, it's a stream of consciousness, isn't it? It's a case of, oh, and I remember this happened, and then that happened. And, oh, so clever, so clever. And it just made me smile. I just, you know, I thought all that about the cooking the bird, I thought that was so cool. All the information about the oven and the fact that he couldn't get the right temperature, and then he had to get a thermometer, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, where's this going to go? But he did it. He did, drum roll, 425. What? I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever, and I'm definitely going to look up a little bit more of his work because this is cool. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment. All right, and my page is frozen. So thank you very much for covering for Daniel Deschino tonight. Liu, for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your voice, and most especially your time. Much love, folks. Have a great night. And thank you also to folks.
Good night, everybody.
And Frank for hanging out on the board and listening in. Great night. Appreciate it, everybody. Good night, all.
Good night, my dear. Good night, Liu. Good night, Frank. Good night, everybody on the board.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, John Boy. Do, do, do.